Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. My God is awesome. Welcome to the Rev Up with Rev and Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alicia Smith Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. Welcome to, oh my goodness, November. Welcome to November. I think the leaves have changed in many, many parts of the country. We see bright reds and yellows and gold, and we're also beginning to feel a little chill in the air, a chill. You know, we actually feel that winter is coming in many parts of the country, and we're just beginning to enjoy, hopefully, the fact that the weather does change. So I invite you to open your eyes. Don't miss the beautiful colors that are all around us, and enjoy the changes around you. Tonight, my guest is Sabira Falami, a breast cancer overcomer, who talks about, now I want you to know, there are a lot of things we have not given ourselves permission to talk about with respect to breast cancer. And one thing is that we're not often giving ourselves an opportunity to talk about breast cancer after Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That was last month. But the truth is, breast cancer is an issue every month of the year, every day of the year. And overcoming it is a challenge that many of us face daily, weekly, monthly. And to talk about the challenge of overcoming, including the connection between overcoming breast cancer and money, our finances. You know, money is a dirty word to a lot of people, but Sabira is going to help us clean up our understanding about our finances and the connection to breast cancer. If you are a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen on demand. The show goes immediately into podcast, so you can listen to the show, connect with something that you didn't quite get or understand, and hopefully come to another understanding or contact me or contact my guest so that you can talk about the topic. You can turn your computer time or leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. The Rev Up with Rev. Alicia show is what I like to think of as a keeping it real show about life. I minister to the people of God through all aspects, all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. This show is, I hope, and I really pray, is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. The Rev Up with Rev. Alicia show is what I hope you want and maybe even need. I would invite you to follow me on for special broadcasts. So just keep in touch with your Facebook page or look for special notices about special shows that I have other than on Tuesday evening. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays at 6401 Chillum Place Northwest. 6401 Chillum Place Northwest in Washington, D.C. at 12:30. Now, that's a wonderful time to have Sunday worship. You have a chance to kind of sleep in a little bit and have a leisurely breakfast and still come and worship the Lord. Our vision at the Pavilion of God is a world where the lions do not prevail. I'm talking about Goliath, like breast cancer, the Goliath of poverty and racism, for they do not prevail. And a word where the people of God know and trust the promises of God, the promises of God to provide a way of escape through Jesus Christ. Our mission is to share the promises and power of God with the people of God. Our motto is Mission Possible. Mission Possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I want to mention, and this is a good night to really talk about the Pavilion of God's project to raise money for Thanksgiving, for people who are in need of a fantastic Thanksgiving. We do what we call more than turkey giving. We have baskets that are filled with a turkey, greens, green beans, rice, potatoes, sweet potatoes, apples, cake mix, icing, and the list goes on and on. You can help out with giving $5, $10, something through GoFundMe. So all you need to do is do a search, GoFundMe, more than turkey. You'll find a site to give your contribution. I'm really encouraging you, $5, $10. And if you give $50 or more, we'll give you a gift. We will be preparing our boxes on November 21st, so I invite you to give a gift. And for the many people who've already given a gift, I want to thank you for your contribution. You will truly, truly help families have a wonderful Thanksgiving this year. It's enough food to feed 5 people plus leftovers. So you know that's a blessing for many, many families. So please consider giving your contribution to our More Than Turkey Thanksgiving. You can always call our prayer line. Our prayer line is on Wednesdays. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. If some of you get up early on your way to work, or if you make a point of setting your clocks to get up and just pray. Maybe you have a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of concern for a beloved one in your family or friend circle. Call in and share your prayer. Or maybe you're praying for yourself. A prayer of to focus on your particular need. Please join us in prayer on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. and again at 12 noon. So if you don't call us at 6, call in at 12. And that call-in number is 605-475-4333. 605-475-4333. It's a great way to just share with the people of God your concerns. Our access code is 213-781. 213-781. Remember, the Pavilion of God is a safe place, and it is sacred space. What a blessing. You know, that you can come as you are to a community of faith and be embraced just the way you are. Don't we all want to find that space where we can be embraced just the way we are? You don't have to dress up. There's no imperfect way to be when you're with the Pavilion of God. So, and consider coming and joining us. Please tweet me at Revelicia or like the Pavilion of God on Facebook. Stay in touch with us through Facebook. And right now I'm going to invite you to join me wherever you happen to be in prayer. If you're listening to this on podcast, stop for a moment and open your heart and open your mind as I pray. God, your word says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Lord God, provider, you are the rock of my salvation, my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, in whom I take refuge. God, you are my stronghold. You turn the lights on in the darkest
hour, even if it's just before the dawn. You encourage me to keep me keeping on. And you are the one who is indeed the wind behind my back. Thank you, O God, for reminding me that I belong to you, that I am your child, and not one who has been cast away or forgotten. Lord, help me to embrace the plans that you have for me, the plans to prosper me and to help me along my way, the plans to give me hope and a future. Now I come praying for my sisters and brothers who are also seeking healing for their mind, their body, and their souls, seeking peace in their homes, a peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, for those who are seeking even financial blessings, I ask, O God, that you bless them in a way that no matter what their situation, they can rely on you. For indeed, you have plans to prosper us, plans to give us hope and a future. This is my prayer, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, we are ready for a good time this evening. If you're just joining us, welcome. I'm Reverend Alethea, host of the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. And as with every show, we're going to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Join us in dialogue by calling 347-945-7723. Let me repeat that number, 347-945-7723. Or write on the blog, or you can even send me an email at revalethea@gmail.com. And I will be happy to share that with my guest this evening as she engages a powerful topic. Now, the name Sabira Bolamihi, so much to me. I know her. She's a sister and a friend. And we have had these long girlfriend kind of chats. but I want you to know that Sabira is also, to me and to thousands of people, a teacher, a minister, a visionary, an encourager, and a breast cancer overcomer. She's a wise woman, and I'm going to do what we always do. Sabira, welcome again to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show.
Oh, thank you. As always, I am always so grateful to be here.
You make me smile just hearing your voice. I'm ready to get into it, girl. Get into it. You know, we are bold tonight to be talking about breast cancer, and it's November. You know, we are so thankful for October, but, you know, sometimes people take the pink off, and they think the story of breast cancer is over, and it is.
It is not.
I am one who can talk about it in October, November, December, straight on through the year, because it is such a part of our lives. And it is also the thing that stops the lives of so many, not just physically, but it stops the emotional and the spiritual lives of many who have breast cancer and even those who love people who have breast cancer. You know it. You've gone through it. You're pressing through it even now in a different way. So I'm going to ask you, you've talked about it a thousand times, but for the new listeners and those who don't know you, kind of just would you share, give us some understanding of your story of breast cancer, how long ago, where you are on your journey now. Kind of give me over you a little bit of your story.
Sure. So in December of 2011, I was in the shower in Toronto, Canada, and I was doing a routine breast, exam as I'm in the shower, and I felt a lump. And immediately, I just knew that it was not good. I did not believe it was cancer, but I knew a lump that I'm feeling, and it was so hard and so large, I was like, this cannot be good. So anyway, fast forward through the month of December, January, I come home. I go straight to the physician, and within, I don't know, maybe by my second exam, of course I had the mammogram, and the nurses, the technicians came out of the mammogram procedure, and the look on her face, I will never forget it. That's the moment I knew that it was cancer. Of course, they are not at liberty to tell you what they know they're looking at. But I'm like, this is what this woman does for a living. She knows probably what this is. And that look on her face was like,
that expression, boy. Mm.
And I just, even speaking it now, I feel sick because I remember her face. So from that moment on, my life went completely topsy-turvy. The feeling, the analogy that I can give is it felt like a hand grenade when the doctor actually called and told me, and this I was told over the phone by the physician, believe it or not, but when he said those words to me, you have cancer, it was as if someone had taken a hand grenade and thrown it into my lap, into the middle of my life, and everything just, it was just shrapnel all around me. And my entire life was destroyed, literally, in that split moment. Because the next thing was, you need to get into treatment immediately. I needed to get staged immediately. Within a very short time, they figured out that I was stage 3. The cancer was in my lymph nodes, and it was on its way. You know, it was getting pushed through my body, through my lymphatic system. So in 2012, I had about, I think it was, ended up being about 8 surgeries total during the treatment time, between ports being put in and all kinds of different things. But I had 6.5 months of chemotherapy, a double mastectomy, 35 days of radiation, and then another 6 months of what they call Herceptin treatment, which is another infusion. And so where I'm at today, fast forward from 2013 to today, I still go into the infusion clinic every 28 days. Chemo pushed me into an early menopause. I'm 45, almost 46 in a few months. But from the time I was 41, the chemo pushed me into menopause early. So the type of cancer I had, which is called HER2 positive, was dependent upon estrogen, so they had to cut that off. Anyway, long story short is I am still going into the same place that I had chemotherapy. I still go back there every 28 days for a treatment that makes sure that my estrogen levels stay low, so that if there is any other traces of, you know, millitraces of cancer, it doesn't have estrogen at the very least to feed on. So other than that, I am completely, I know I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm energized, I'm sitting outside the yoga studio now, I'm about to go work out here in a few minutes, and but
I love the way you said, other than that.
Other than
that. That is, despite all that, in spite of all that, I am all of that and more. Yes, yes, yes. And somewhere in the midst of, I don't know, help, I call myself, and most people know, I call myself an overcomer, not a survivor. Is there a way that you caption who you are in this at this point?
Well, I mean, definitely an overcomer. And when I write out the word cancer, I write out the word C-A-N in all caps. And
Go
then,
girl.
You know, lowercase C-E-R, because you know, if there's one thing that this experience through cancer taught me is that I do have the tenacity, the strength, the stamina, the endurance. And there were a time in particular, especially those first 6, because Revalita, every month that I was in chemo, I also had to have a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so at that, I knew what it was like not to have stamina, not to have strength, not to feel like I can't even take another step. But I realized I can. There were things that were around me that were fortifying me. So
you say cancer, capital C, capital A, capital N. So you add another understanding to C, say puede, yes, I can. You say yes, I can. Even when cancer says no, you say yes. And, you know, there's so much I want the audience to know. This is not just someone who says, yes, I can, because she's in denial of the pain, the loss, the sorrow. And so I'm not negating those who find a place of denial, but I want you to know denial, from my perspective, is not the healthiest place to be at any time. But when you can go from pain and loss to yes, I can, is such a powerful statement of making, making a choice. Or can you say how you move from, and then and even now, I acknowledge when I'm in my sad place, my lost place, but I go back to I am an overcomer. How do you make that, how do you move from the truth of the ravages of cancer to the capital C-A-N?
Because at the end of the day, Alethea, no matter how much pain I was in, no matter how sick I felt, no matter how much it looked like my life was devastated, now that I can look back over it, you know, hindsight, as they say, is 2020, and it is so true, I can see how much I actually moved through, even if it was I was moving slowly, even if it was I was taking a little tiny step that no one could see because it was so, it was maybe just keep breathing. Sometimes I was just telling myself, keep breathing. So I know that I can because I did. It's just that simple. There is no magic to it. It was horrible. I'm not even going to lie. I would never wish cancer on anyone. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
However, the gift of it was it made me and it put around me people, information, resources that I don't know I would have had the opportunity to connect with because I wasn't looking for it before. I had to figure out a way to get through this situation. I had to figure out a way to heal my finances. I had to figure out a way to get my mobility back. What's that? The finances. I was on, and you know this, and I'm saying this for the people who don't know this part of my story. You know, I went from having literally over $100,000 in a savings account to nothing. So I did everything that they tell us to do, save. I've been saving.
Okay. So you weren't the person who was out there who was penniless. You were the woman who, single woman, not married.
Right.
Who had figured out how to purchase a house.
I did.
And save money.
I did.
That
I had
is
a car that was
right.
paid off. I had a paid off.
That's
I did everything. I did everything.
You did it right.
Mm-hmm.
You did it right. And yet,
I ended up with nothing.
And
stole
everything.
Everything. Everything. I mean, I was that woman who, you know, I was in the gym 4 or 5 days a week. I love working out. I was in the gym 4 or 5 days a week. I ate clean. I mean, I did what they said with my finances, make sure you save, make sure, you know, I made sure I got a low interest rate in my home. I didn't carry my, as soon as I could, I paid off my vehicle. And let me tell you, those things that I did are the things that were my safety boats while I was going through perfect storm. Because on top of everything else that fell apart where I had no income, I couldn't work for, you know, just about 24 months. Working was not an option. So thankfully I had relationships with people that I, you know, there's a saying that says, dig your well before you need water, something like that.
So I had
nurtured beautiful, authentic, close relationships, and these people pulled close to me. I did, thankfully, I had 10 years prior to getting this diagnosis of stage 3 breast cancer, I had been saving in tangible assets. I had been saving in silver and gold, right? And like I said, I had a house, so I had my mortgage, and I had a paid-off vehicle. So when this storm hit, I wasn't worried about how I was going to make a car note. I was worried about my house. My house did go into foreclosure and stayed there almost the entire 2 years. I went on food stamps, and financially I had those people that I, you know, had developed these beautiful relationships that supported me during the times where I really just had to hunker down and I had nothing to give.
Because that's the whole story is such a powerful story. There are a number of things. We have callers on the line now. You can call us, stay on, and I know some of you want to talk directly to Sabira. I'm going to put you on so you can talk with her, make your comments, share your story, or make your comments to Sabira. But you've just said a lot of very, you know, part of we blame ourselves when we are in the position not having money to pay for health insurance, or we don't have health insurance. Many of us didn't. I didn't initially when breast cancer came. Many of us own property. Some of us don't. And some of us didn't save. And even what you're saying, even those of us who save, often are hit by the ravages of breast cancer. So it's not something we need to blame ourselves for.
Right, to understand
the story. So let me just get someone else in here who wants to share a comment. Caller, welcome to the Block Talk Radio Show, Reverend Alethea. I'm talking to caller 557. Welcome. Phone number 557, you have a comment or a question?
I'm sorry, Reverend Alethea. I was so caught up in listening to her story. that
powerful story, yeah.
And I heard so many similar things.
First of all, I want to say welcome to the show. I know your voice. You're a first-time caller. Welcome to our show. Go ahead.
Thank you. Listening to her story, it just brought back all those memories and listening to how she stayed strong through it all, and it's amazing. People truly, truly don't understand, but when you start sharing, so many people begin to understand a little more. But the greatest thing that I think that you said was that you had a great support group, the relationships that you developed, because despite what we think and all the times, and sometimes we just want to be left alone, those people are a great asset when you really need them and you have a great relationship with them. And I want to congratulate you as a overcomer, as Reverend Alethea says, and as a survivor, because it's not easy. It's a full-time job trying to stay healthy and above water.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and keep listening, and we'll probably invite you to call back again or get in the conversation again. So thank you. And I will say that this caller is a breast cancer overcomer herself, and she has had a bilateral mastectomy. So there's a great deal of understanding. Samira, for those listeners who don't understand bilateral, can you make it plain?
Oh, yes. I have both my breasts cut off.
Amen. So that
it'll get that simple as that. Make it plain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to do that because many of the listeners, and I understand, don't understand what a bilateral mastectomy is. Some of us have had one breast removed and some have had both breasts removed. Some do it even in advance of a determination of breast cancer because you have a gene indicating that you will probably the indication that you probably will have breast cancer. So the stories are many and diverse. But I want to say what the caller said. You had friends who knew your story, who you could share not only the physical pain, the emotional pain, and the spiritual pain, but you even talked to them about your financial challenges.
I did. I did.
You know, Samira, a lot of us don't do that.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like I was in between the mortar and pestle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
being
ground down, and I needed help. My only word that I could say was help. Any pride went out the door. I didn't know how I was going to eat sometimes. I didn't know how I was going to keep my lights on. I didn't know how, was the water bill going to get paid? Am I going to be able to bathe myself with fresh water? I mean, it was that serious for me.
In the meantime, you're trying to survive physically.
In the meantime, I'm going to doctor's appointments literally, you know, especially the most intense part of the treatment. You're going, for the first 6 months, I was in a doctor's office just about every day, and sometimes I had doctor's appointments two or three a day. So my brain was spinning, and everything felt out of control. And so I had a good friend who was a realtor, and I gave her power of attorney and the authority to talk to Bank of America on my behalf and to negotiate on my behalf. I couldn't take the calls coming anymore. I just emotionally couldn't take it. And so she took that over. I had another friend who came over, and when the mail came, she separated it. This is immediate. This you can deal with in a month or so. This you can deal with after you get through treatment. She had everything separated, opened it for me, so I didn't have to look at it. And then people made donations to me. So I had another friend who is a marketer and a copywriter in Arizona, Albuquerque, New Mexico. She wrote letters for me, it wasn't even GoFundMe. She just would do a campaign. They did do a GoFundMe, and they raised, money for me. I literally, it was like all I could do was breathe. Now, I just want to say this. When my house went up for foreclosure, I think it was two times, maybe three, but I specifically remember twice, the light bulb went on in my head. I remember that when I was in my early 30s, I started saving in silver and gold. And I really want to get this in before the show, before we get too deep into this. I hope this is okay.
Yes, good. Go ahead.
The last caller, she said the word that is so important, and that word is asset.
Amen.
So if there's nothing else that people leave this particular call with, understanding that the dollars that you have in your pocket, and people might have to take a seat on this, because it's a rude awakening, but the dollars that you go to work for, 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours a week, are not money. It is not money. Those are promissory notes. Those are promises to pay. Those are debt instruments. I understood that because I studied Robert Kiyosaki and a whole bunch of other finance people in my 20s. I've always had a hunger to understand money. And when I got it that, oh, the reason I'm always in debt is because I'm operating with debt instruments only, which is the reason I went and bought a house when I was 29 years old as a single woman, which is why I stayed at my job and said, okay, I need to convert these promissory notes into something real, i.e. real estate. So I converted these dollars into real estate. I started converting those dollars into silver and gold. I put them in a safety deposit box. And check out these numbers, Alicia. This is powerful. So in my 30s, I saved probably $100 a month, converted $100 a month into silver and gold, put it in a safety deposit box, and then I just let it, at one point I stopped doing it, you know, whatever, life happened, and but I had amassed whatever amount, it was about a total of about $10,000 that I had ended up saving over a course of years, right? But I let it sit in my safe deposit box, and I just let it sit there. I didn't even think about it anymore. Fast forward, 15 years later, I get this breast cancer diagnosis. My house is up on for foreclosure. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get this kind of money to save my house? I wanted to stay in my house, Lika, because that was my hospital. That was my safe place. That was my sanctuary. I didn't want to give up my house. If there was a way, I could. Girl, I went, I pulled those silver coins out, bullion, silver, and gold. I took them. Like they say in Vegas, I cashed my chips in. I converted it back into dollars. That's what Bank of America wanted. Great. I gave them their money. $10,000 worth of silver and gold. Hanging on to that for, I don't remember how many years right off the top of my head because I'm excited right now. But anyway,
to the people that you're not a person who grew up wealthy.
No. I'll speak to that too.
Vera, the truth is most of us think that the only people who think about money are people whose mama and grandmama had money. But of this country, black and white, are not people who came from people with great finance.
Tell you right now, my father was in the military, right? My mother is a nurse. My grandmother was a nurse when she was younger and then stayed home, and she ended up passing away very young from complications from diabetes. You know, my grandfather worked at the plant for Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
And so my family, I'm not from a wealthy family by any stretch of it. There was not even a wooden spoon, let alone a silver spoon, okay? So that is what drove me to say I've got to figure this money piece out. The gift that my father gave me, he had three daughters. He told us, have your own education, your own checking account, and your own business.
Amen.
Those are the things that my father, that's a gift he gave me. So let me just, because I want to get and tell you how this ended up, because it was amazing. So $10,000 converted over the course of, let's say, 10 years, and held in a safe deposit box, not in a bank, just in a box, okay, safe deposit box. When I went and pulled that out and took it down and cashed it in, converted it back to dollars, do you know how much it came out to? $35,000.
Wow.
$35,000.
You started with how much?
It was $100 a month, every month over the course of 20 years. I can't remember because I'm excited. But it was not a long time. But the point, that was my choice. I chose to save in something real. I didn't want to put it in the stock market. My grandfather worked for Procter & Gamble since he was like 25. He worked there forever. He had $500,000. The stock market went down, boom, he lost it all. I said, okay, thank you. I'm not doing that. Because that can be manipulated. They manipulate the, you know, that stuff they can, because it's dollars and it's emotions, they manipulate it. If it's in my hand, people cannot go and create. You can't manufacture gold. Only Mother Nature, God, creates gold. Mm. And gold has been valuable from the dawn of time to, if I have that, I don't care where in the world I go. Look, that's a common denominator. If I have gold, I can go anywhere in the world and convert that into the local currency and buy myself some milk and eggs and things I need to survive. But if we're only, this is what I learned. This is what breast cancer taught me financially, is that the only way I was going to get out of debt for real was I had to have something real. And I had to convert this paper promissory note. Look at the back of the dollar. It tells you that this is a note. It says on their note. It never says this is actual money. Okay. So let me
call
down.
So believe what you read.
They ain't trying to lie to us. They ain't lying to us. Now, they did sell us a bunch of other stories that we have emotionally bought into, but when you separate, I had to separate the emotion because I was trying to save my house so that I could just lay on my couch at my house and piece my life back together and while my body got pieced back together. This thing is real. This is real. Real talk. This is real.
Yeah, this is a real story for families everywhere, black or white. It is a real story for men and women. But the women in the audience now, one of the things that we don't do is to decide to talk about money. And we tend not to know that we're worthy of financially prospering and financial security.
Yep.
So you're talking about financially prospering and you're talking about financial security. That's huge. That's, those are, for some of us, it tends to be incomprehensible. So what kind of recommendations are you offering people?
There's a company that I use now to convert these promissory notes into gold. And if people want to know about that, you know, they can contact me. I've given you all my contact information. And people can call me and I will tell them how they can set up an absolutely free account. It costs you no money to set up a gold savings account. Free.
Okay.
And there's no minimum that you have to put in. There's no, you know, you got to put in twice a month. There's no minimum. And it's free to set up. And if people are interested, you know, they can contact me either by Facebook, Subira Falame, or they can follow me on Twitter.
Yes, and I have all that information on the radio, and I will repeat it for them. So you will come out and talk to groups, you'll talk to individuals,
and you will help them begin to
understand your personal story. I know you have to go, Sabira, and I really thank you, and I want to let the audience know that Sabira and I will be having our conversations, some real conversations at least once a month. So stay tuned so you can hear more from someone who likes to keep it real. Any final comments for this evening, Sabira, for the audience?
Just to know that you can. Just know that I don't care what it is you're facing, that you can face it and that you can get to the other side of it. You may have to be creative. Be willing to do things outside of your comfort zone, things that maybe you don't know about, you know, from you didn't what aren't usual things that your family does. This is not something that was in the norm in my family, but I had to do something different. And because of that, I'm telling you, you can. So thank you so much, Revelation, for letting me speak tonight.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're going to stay in dialogue. And thank you for being on. Audience, we just need to say thank you to Sabira. For her wealth of knowledge. And this is not, you know, we tend to think knowledge is something that is only in the hearts and minds of the academy, those who have been trained through the academy, the professor, the students who've gone there. Knowledge is available to all of us, but we have to make a choice to learn and to decide that we don't know it all and that we can begin to increase our knowledge over time. This is one of the many lessons that Sabira's story is teaching us and reminding us of our own importance. I'm going to get the caller, 557, if you're still there. Are you still there? Okay, great. It's just a perfect timing. One of the things that you want to talk, can I give your name?
Sure.
Okay, Kia's on the line. One of the things that Kia's interested in is budgeting. Can you say why setting up a budget is important to you, Kia, for the members of the church, for all of us? You know, why is a budget important?
A budget is very important because one of the things that I have learned just from you, Reverend Alethea, and I've heard it many times, we have to be good stewards over our money. And we tend to, in some cultures, not to know about savings because, you know, growing up, you weren't allowed to be a part of the financial decisions, you know, when your parents were making them, and then you find yourself in a situation. And it concerns me also when our seniors have to decide whether to purchase their medicine or eat. I don't think that should ever have to be a question. They should always be able to get the things that they need, but just overall financially being set, because, you know, when you're diagnosed with anything that can take you away, where do you leave your family to pick up the pieces?
Mm-hmm.
And if things are already in motion and if things are set and you live within your means, you can accomplish so many things. No one is saying you can't do entertainment or go on vacation, but if you're struggling to figure out how to go on vacation and you work every single day, you should be able to take a vacation and not worry about how you're going to fund it.
Right, and that you're not going to be worrying about how you're going to fund it. You're not taking from your children's food or from the savings. But I think part of it is that we operate out of a mentality of lack and limitation. We believe we lack. We believe we are limited. When that is your understanding of who you are in this world, then why bother to save? Why have a budget? It really doesn't matter. And we tend to live that way. And, oh, my goodness, if you're beset with something like cancer, then we really have no reason to care or be concerned. And you would wonder how it is that we spiral down because, in part, we are not believing in who we are as children of God.
Absolutely. And just as she, Shakira, is it?
It's Sabira.
Sabira. As she said, her grandfather worked for years and he had that money. And then when the stock markets went, so did his money. And if we have good advisors or if we have a better understanding on how money works, a lot of people may not have been financially in a bad way if things have been done better. But when you don't know and you think that you're secure, you're not. you really are not secure. And she bounced back because she had something else put to the side. But a lot of people don't know about investing in gold or investing in silver or bullion. They don't know this. And if they don't know, they can't do it. But those that are capable of doing it or willing to make the sacrifice, it will make a world of difference later. It may not keep you afloat forever, but it'll keep you afloat long enough to come up with another plan.
Yeah, and it will keep you afloat long enough not to buy the story that you are valueless. And part of the challenge that so many of us face is when we have a challenging time, not only do we experience it as a tough time, but we suddenly begin to not see ourselves as worth working for. We're not valuable enough to ask for support. We negate ourselves in so many ways. So we want to continue. So I'm thankful that you called in this evening, Kia, because as a Pavilion of God, we're going to be talking more about being good stewards, good caretakers of our lives in every respect, including financially. So we want to know what the divine commandments are with respect to caring for our finances. And there are many guides, biblical guides, and we're going to use part of the guide is the gifts God gives us in our own communities, in our families, in our churches. So if you're listening and there's someone in your church who is inspired to talk about money, you better talk to that person. So I'm talking to Kia. She is inspired by God to say money matters. And amazingly, Sabira is saying money matters. Gold, silver matters. But we are God's greatest investment. We are God's gift to the world, and we need to take care of the gift that we are and know that we're worthy of receiving financial gifts. This is not a prosperity message. It is a value message about your value, my value, our value, and building that value so that we can share it with others. We don't need poor talk and sad talk. We need reality talk. A reality conversation. Kia, I'm going to ask you to come back on when Sabir is here again and at other times when we're talking about money. Also to remind us that breast cancer and other cancers are real concerns for the people of God throughout the year. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. So, beloved Kia, thank you for being with us tonight, and other listeners, I thank you for your questions. It seems as if we addressed most of the questions that are coming in. I invite you to stay with us. I want you to say that there are many people like Kia, many people like Sabir, and the key that ties us all together is wisdom. Do you know that the Holy Word speaks a lot about wisdom in many places, but what comes to mind right now for me is James 1:5 that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him or her ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Beloved, we need only ask God for wisdom. Wisdom not just on good days, but wisdom when everything seems bleak and when we are at our wit's end. God gives me wisdom. It's one of the many promises of God. Let us ask for wisdom. We need to know at those moments when we lack wisdom. And sometimes we lack wisdom when the pain of life is pushing in against us, and that's where Sabira was. And she prayed and hoped for wisdom and discovered the gifts she already had. How many of us are sitting with gifts in our lives that we have not ascribed a particular value to? Or how many of us have a friend or a coworker that knows more than we know in a particular way, we need to ask God for wisdom. I thank God for the wisdom that Sabira holds. I thank her for the wisdom that connects us as sisters and friends, and we will find ways to build that wisdom and share that wisdom with one another. This is a place where we can keep it real. This is a place where we can talk about the challenges and the overcoming power of God that we each have in our hands. Beloved, I invite you to stay tuned. Come back next week for more insight, more encouragement, so that you can rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. We all need to rev up, accelerate, and energize our lives. Keep listening.